Good evening, everyone. Today is the 2nd of August. We're running about 12 minutes late, so bear with us. This is the evening service of Pineville Grace Fellowship in Pineville, Missouri, on the border of Arkansas and Missouri. And tonight we're going to have Mark read some scripture for us, and then we will sing some songs and hymns, and then we'll get into study tonight. We're glad you could join us. So I'll turn the camera around and Mark can read the scriptures.
Ephesians 6, 1 through 6. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Service on the job. Service, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Thank you. Again, that was Ephesians 6, 1 through 6.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes.
Okay, tonight, the first hymn that's been selected by Mark is 242. Almighty King, whose wondrous hand. Almighty King, whose wondrous hand supports the weight of sea and land, whose grace is such a boundless store, no heart shall break that sighs for more. Thy providence supplies my food, and 'tis thy blessing makes it good. My soul is nourished by thy word. Let soul and body praise the Lord. My streams of outward comfort came from him who built this earthly frame. Whate'er I want, his bounty gives, by whom my soul forever lives. Either his hand preserves from pain, or if I feel it, heals again. From Satan's malice shields my breast, or overrules it for the rest. Forgive the song that falls so low, beneath the gratitude I owe. It means thy praise, however poor, an angel's song can do no more. Okay, the next one is page 448. Step by step. Jesus, more and more I need thee. Would more closely to thee stay, so then like a shepherd lead me, step by step, day by day, all the way. Close beside thee, let me stay, let me stay. Gently guide me, lest I stray. Cheer me, guide me, Lord, I pray. Step by step, day by day, all the way. In my joy and in my sorrow, teach me, Lord, just how to pray. Let me walk today, tomorrow, step by step, day by day, all the way. Under every ill condition, make me
willing to obey and to keep what in contrition, step by step, day by day, all the way. Lead me over lofty mountains and through valleys of dismay, o'er the deserts by the fountain, step by step, day by day, all the way. Close beside me, let me stay, let me stay. Gently guide me, lest I stray. Cheer me, guide me, Lord, I pray. Step by step, day by day, all the way.
Well, let's... let's sing 186, Come All Ye Mourning Pilgrims. Come all ye mourning pilgrims dear,
we're bound for Canaan's land. Take courage and fight valiantly, stand fast with sword in hand. Our captain's gone before us, our Father's holy Son. In pilgrims, dear, pray do not fear, but let us follow on. We have a howling wilderness to Canaan's happy shore, a land of earth and pits and snares where chilling winds do roar. But Jesus will be with us and guard us on the way. The enemies examine us, he'll teach us what to say. Sweet rivers of salvation all through Canaan's land to roll. The beams of day bring glittering scenes, illuminate the soul. I see bright clouds of glory above the fields so white, and gentle gales that bear my soul to Jesus, my delight.
Well, why don't we go across the page there and sing the 23rd Psalm.
The Lord my precious shepherd is, I am his little sheep. He leads me to his pastures green, beside still waters deep. In righteous paths he leadeth me, lest I should go astray. Restores my soul and makes me glad, I praise him day by day. Though through the shades of death I walk, the valley dark and drear, his rod and staff, they comfort me, for he is always near. My head with oil he does anoint, my cup runs o'er with joy. The feast my Lord prepares for me, my foes cannot destroy. Goodness and mercy follow me, their joys I cannot tell. They comfort me and give me hope that in his house I'll dwell. I want to praise him while I live, because he loved me so. And rising to that glory world, a perfect praise I'll know.
Well, the last thing we're going to do is sing, I mean, the last thing we're going to sing is Psalm 147a on page 94.
Praise ye the Lord, for it is good, praise to our God to sing, for it is pleasant and to praise
It is a comely thing. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, brings back her captive sons. He binds up all their wounds and heals the broken-hearted ones. He counts the number of the stars, he names them every one. Our Lord is great and great in power, his wisdom search can none. The Lord upholds the meek and brings the wicked to the ground. With thanks, oh, praise the Lord our God, with harps his praises sound. Who covereth the heavens with clouds, who for the earth below prepareth rain, who maketh grass upon the mountains grow. He cares for the beasts that roam the field, and doth their food supply. He watches o'er the ravens young, and feeds them when they cry. In strength of horse or speed of man, the Lord takes no delight. But those that fear and trust his love are pleasing in his sight. In strength of horse or speed of man, the Lord takes no delight. But those that fear and trust his love are pleasing in his sight.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight in this service. Pray that you would lead and guide our thoughts, our minds. Open your word to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're glad you could join us again this evening for this time that we have set apart to do some study in the Word of God. And I want to read tonight in the 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And I think I'm going to have Mark help me with this. It's 19 verses, and so I think I'm going to have him read the first 10 verses of the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10.
Vision of Paradise, 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I shall say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, thorn in the flesh, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelation there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan buffeted me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, and reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Thank you.
Thank you. I am a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. truly the signs of an apostle will rot among you, and all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein we were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you, for the children ought to lay up for their parents, not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? And again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you as I would, and I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strivings, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. And lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Well, I'm going to focus on the first 10 verses of this tonight. Paul starts by saying, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. Now, like I said this morning, there's a lot of glorying going on right now in the churches. There's a lot of exaltation of the creature going on. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such and one caught up in the third heaven. Paul here was speaking of himself, I'm certain. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now that he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So, you may have often asked yourself, why did the Apostle Paul share this personal testimony with the church at Corinth about his seemingly out-of-the-body experience? Or he said he couldn't tell whether it was out-of-body or whether it was not, but he was caught up into the third heaven and he heard things that were unlawful to mention. And he said he's not going to glory in himself over this situation that happened to him. But he says he's going to glory in his infirmities. I've met a lot of people in my lifetime, but frankly, I've met very few people that have gloried in their infirmities. Most people glory in how good a golfer they are, or how fast they can run, or how far they can throw the shot put, or how good they are at vaulting or high jumping or track and field or football or baseball or basketball or soccer. You don't hear a lot of people glorying in their infirmities. You also hear a lot about faith healers and all the people they've healed. But he says, of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Notice, he had a lot of revelations. A lot of things were revealed to the Apostle Paul. And what he's saying here is, because of all these revelations that God has given me, I could be exalted above measure. And so because I could have been exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Who gave Paul the thorn in the flesh? Who gave Paul the thorn in the flesh? Well, God has the final authority on all thorns in the flesh. God is sovereign over all infirmities and all ailments and all trials and tribulations. And he says, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Is it inappropriate to say that God sent Satan to buffet the Apostle Paul? I don't think so. Satan is under the authority of God himself, just like he was with Job. Same scenario. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul specifically says that his thorn in the flesh was a result. The purpose of the thorn in the flesh was so that he would not be exalted above measure. How many messages have you heard about that? Where someone is given a sickness, given a thorn in the flesh, given an ailment, maybe had their job taken away, maybe had their finances depleted, maybe had a tree fall on their roof, whatever. Maybe that was sent to them as a messenger of Satan to buffet them, so that they would not be exalted above measure. Apostle Paul didn't like this. He did not like this. Who likes being buffeted by Satan? Who likes being sick? Who likes being attacked in their body? Who likes being depleted of their finances? Who likes losing their job? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. The Apostle Paul asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn in the flesh from him. Three times. And he asked that it might depart from me. And what did Christ say to the Apostle Paul? Notice those are direct response from Christ, because it's in red. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. How many people do you have, do you know, the faith healers have told that message to people who have illness? That God's grace is sufficient for you, that your strength is made perfect in weakness. We hear just the opposite. You don't have enough faith. You need to drum up more faith. You need to order an anointing cloth. You need to have someone come and lay their hands on you, and on and on and on. here we have the rest of the story, don't we? Paul goes on and says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you've asked God to heal you from an infirmity, if you've asked God to heal you from a disease or from some condition, and God has said no, then you should glory in your infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. How many take pleasure in their illnesses? How many people have you heard say, I glory to God in this situation I'm going through. I don't necessarily like it, but I give God all the glory in it. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is not a very popular message that the Apostle Paul is bringing forth here. People don't want... Who wants to be sick? Who wants to have an infirmity? Who wants to be reproached for the name of Christ? Who wants to be persecuted for the name of Christ? Who wants to be... in tribulations? Nobody wants to be in situations. But this is Paul's answer to those who have not received what they've asked for from Christ. The answer has been no. Sometimes the answer is not yes, sometimes the answer is no. And this was what happened to the Apostle Paul. On three occasions he asked to be this thorn in the flesh to be removed from him, and three, and Christ never did take it away. Sometimes people go through their whole life and they have to suffer great persecution. John Bunyan had to be put in prison, and he had all kinds of things he had to go through. He had a son who had, I believe it was a son or a daughter. He had a son, I believe, that had a daughter. He had a daughter that had a mental condition, a mental illness. Can you imagine what that would have been like, to be sitting in prison, knowing you could not provide for your family, and your daughter having this grave condition, and knowing your wife was having to deal with that? Just think of all the examples we have in the Old and New Testament of those who suffered persecution. Jeremiah was thrown out down into a pit. Look at the things Moses had to go through. Having been given the very tables of God, coming down from Mount Sinai and seeing the people worshiping a golden calf. Just think of all the things Joshua had to go through. Being thrown in prison for false allegations of rape for 7 years. You know, we have a long history of people from the Old Testament through the New Testament that have been persecuted for Christ's sake. Think of all the things Daniel had to go through. Being cast in a lion's den. How about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into a fiery furnace? One prophet was called Old Baldhead, wasn't he? And we can go through and look at all the things that have happened through the prophets in the Old Testament. Persecutions they endured. Samuel, his own sons, departed from doing what was right. David's own sons departed from doing what was right. One of his sons tried to steal the kingdom from him. And if we look at the things that have come against God's people, then we shake our heads. We know what Job had to go through. His three friends coming to him and self-righteously preaching at him when he's sitting in dust and ashes, scraping his wounds. You know, so we have a record of lots of examples of people being attacked by Satan, buffeted by Satan. John the Baptist had his head chopped off because he took a stand against adultery. Peter was hung upside down on a cross. All the apostles except Judas, who was a son of perdition, were martyred, except for John, who was boiled in oil. Not everyone receives immediate deliverance upon the request to God. Sometimes God's answer is, "My grace is sufficient for you." The Apostle Paul suffered much persecution. He was on the run most of his life. He was led over a wall in a basket. And he finally was killed. The name of Christ. And he had a thorn in the flesh on top of it. And he asked for it to be removed, and it was not. He said, "Well, Larry, why are you being so negative?" I'm being truthful with you. If you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll see that many, many Christians have been persecuted and martyred and killed and maimed for the name of Jesus Christ. The Great Inquisition by the Roman Catholic Church killed millions of people in the name of religion. Many of the reformers were persecuted. Tyndale and Huss and Martin Luther was threatened. He was excommunicated. And all of those who took a stand for truth were maligned, Zwingli, and John Calvin was maligned for his faith. And the Anabaptists were persecuted. The Waldensians, the Paulicians, the Lollards, and they went through a great deal of suffering at the Piedmont there in Wales. And we have prophecy of what's going to happen in the last days. Perilous times will come, and it's going to wax worse and worse. And many are going to be killed for the name of Jesus Christ. And that may open a lot of these name it and claim it pastors who think they got all the answers about healing, that everybody should be healed. Not everyone is healed. Some people, God lets them continue on with their infirmities. the 24th chapter of Matthew, it says they shall deliver, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. That is happening right now, with the likes of Benny Hinn and Joyce Myers and Paula White and Joel Osteen and John Hagee. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, since it was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. That means a lot of flesh is going to die. A lot of flesh is going to die. There's going to be a lot of death and destruction. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, we also know that he says that in verse 9, after all these things are happening, wars, hearing wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, and all these pestilences and earthquakes and famines and all this. He says that's just the beginning of sorrows in verse 8. That's just the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. They shall kill you. What then? What's going to happen then with the faith healers? What are they going to say then about you don't have enough faith to be protected from these killers? They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's going to be a wake-up call for these false prophets. All of a sudden, a lot of people are also going to change their eschatology, I predict. So this is something to think about. If you're going through sickness or illness or a disease, and you've asked God to heal you, and He has said no, then take comfort in this passage of Scripture. Take comfort in this Scripture that we read in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And like Paul, we should glory in whatever it is we're going through. If we believe that God is sovereign, we believe that He has His hand on our lives, then we need to be resigned to His will. That's why He told us in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but thine be done. The apostles came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And He said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I get really concerned when I hear someone bragging about how many people they have healed through their prayers. There's only one in the whole world that has the power to heal, and that's God Himself. So that's what I have on my mind tonight. Do we have a final selection?
2:9, and come all you chosen saints of God.
Come all you chosen saints of God. Hold on a second. 2:9. What's the number again?
2:90.
2:90. Okay. Come all ye chosen saints of God, whose souls are washed in Jesus' blood. Hear what he says, his word is true. My grace sufficient is for you. I am your sure almighty friend, who lovingly loves you to the end. I will be near you and will show my grace sufficient is for you. I know how numerous are your foes. I know the ways which they oppose. I know their cunning malice too. My grace sufficient is for you. Oh, Satan tries your souls to ensnare. You're still the objects of my care. You're near my heart, I'll bring you through. My grace sufficient is for you. Do you want proof of this, my love? Calvary, surveyed in heaven above. See how the ransom millions do. My grace sufficient is for you. I'll guide you safely in the way, through life's dark night to heaven's bright day. And there with wonder you shall view. My grace sufficient is for you. Well, we thank you for joining us tonight, and we hope that you have a blessed week. And I want to remind everyone, we have our daily devotional time. We usually try to do it. There's no real set time. But we usually try to do it between 4:30 in the morning and 6:30 in the morning. I'm usually up around that time for the devotional period. And the devotional period usually is around 30 minutes. So you're welcome to join us any morning when you can catch me. We call it the Breakfast Club. And I'm having my smoothie every morning. You know, we've done away with the bacon and eggs, and we've gone to a pineapple, banana, coconut milk smoothie. Okay. You all have a good evening.